than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we are just a few days out of the draft. It was a busy weekend here in Baltimore with the Ravens celebrating the draft. A lot of stuff going on. Ravens are keeping busy. Joining me as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
Man, not a whole lot. Just you're right, man. We just got done the draft. Busy weekend. I'm ready for some Ravens football, dude. I've been shopping this weekend, putting together my new ensemble for the season. We had a ball. Speaking of that, we had a good time shopping Saturday morning. We had a great weekend ourselves, man.
Yeah, it was the annual Ravens outlet sale early in the morning. Not as big of a crowd at the stadium as years past. There was only about, I want to say, maybe 20, 30 people in line when we got there. And usually that's, you know, there's at least 100 or so going all the way through the parking lot. So that was a little disappointing to see, but that just meant that we could get some better stuff. And I picked up some Under Armour stuff from the Combine, picked out some workout shorts, all that kind of good stuff. We do have to apologize to everybody because we were hoping to record a show over the weekend, do a video podcast at the stadium, but unfortunately we got shut down. The stadium authority said that we were shooting on private property and that we weren't allowed to shoot there, but I guess we have different opinions, but kind of sucks that we couldn't get a show out earlier this weekend.
I agree, man. I mean, it was an unfortunate situation, but, you know, knowing us, we're not going to argue and, you know, where the lines are drawn in the city versus who owns what. I mean, we did it last year right across the street. No one bothered us, but you know what? Whatever. I mean, we're not really going to harp on that. But basically what it comes down to is, we weren't able to produce a show live on location, which would have been great. About 10 minutes in, got distracted from one of the officials coming over and was like confirming that. But let's bygones be bygones. And here we are recording one for you now. And the safety of our own studios and homes, so no one's going to tell us to stop recording here.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, but we were hoping you guys could see a little bit of Baltimore behind us, a little bit of the sale, but that's okay. We're still going to talk about the draft coming up. So, Josh, let's jump right into it. The Ravens were busy in this, this six-round draft, a lot of people upset that the Ravens stuck strictly to defense and went with their first-round pick of Marlon Humphrey from Alabama. He's a cornerback, and a lot of people are saying, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you go receiver? Why wouldn't you go offense? Obviously, Joe needs some help, but Ozzie's got some other ideas, and obviously, defense is what they're focusing on this offseason.
Yeah, defense is what they're focusing on. We've always been known about that. In Ravens Nation, man. I mean, if you go back to our great teams, it's defense first. And you're right. With Marty Mordewin coming in and the transition of Joe Flacco, you know, in the later part of his prime years, we need to get him some help. We had Mike Wallace still retained. We had Perryman, who had some highlight games last year, but still didn't put it together. But we're hoping in year three he does. With the exits of Steve Smith due to retirement and then Kamari King going to the Colts, we do need some help. We got some tight ends. We have some running backs. And, you know, we have Danny Woodhead adding the mix. But, you know, a lot of people were like, you know, O.J. Howard was there, the big freaky tight end out of Alabama. He actually went to the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are going to be dangerous, dude. They got Mike Evans as receiver. They have the big tight end, O.J. Howard. So they're going to be dangerous in the NFC South. But a lot of people, you're right, social media reactions were, come on, we need a playmaker. We need a playmaker. And I don't know how many arguments I got, and it wasn't really arguments. It's just it's just trying to make people see the other side. I mean, you don't want – I'm not here to manipulate anybody's thinking. I'm not here to – now, you have to agree with me, but I'm just like, look, here's the other side of logic why they're doing what they're doing if you put yourselves in the shoes. But people are missing the boat here, and it frustrates me, and we're going to definitely have a great conversation about it. It seems like some of the sound fans I've talked to actually get it. And again, we had great discussions. I'm not definitely disrespecting anybody who's, you know, disagreement out there. It was great. It was a great discussion because it would be boring if we all agreed, right, Brandon?
Yeah, it would be really boring if we we all agreed, and that's why we have podcasts and good conversations with people. And a lot of people were upset that this was not a quote-unquote sexy pick, that they kind of played it safe getting this guy, another cornerback in Marlon Humphrey in round one. But the reason why Marlon Humphrey was not on a lot of people's radar is that no one expected him to go this low. At number 16, you know, a lot of the best players that are projected for this season go really quick. And this was all analysts and everything said that this would be a very defensive, focused first round. And it was the exact opposite. Everybody was going offense. There was more quarterbacks picked up than a lot of people thought. We saw a lot of trades. But this was, I think the Ravens were one of the first teams to go defense. And the fact that they were able to get this guy this talented that was projected to be, I think, in like the top five or seven, dropped down to 16. That was a big coup for the Ravens.
Absolutely, man. And it was unexpected. And obviously, I think it ebbed and flowed with the draft. I mean, you remember on the podcast prior, I predicted a Mike Williams or a Corey Davis. And they both went in the top 10, man. And even John Ross, the third receiver, went to the Bengals. And we'll cover what our AFC North foes did. And Ozzie even said that after the draft, they had a few players on the board. They went, and they had to go to plan B. And I don't know if you play fantasy, Brandon. I'm not one. I don't think you do. But for our fantasy football enthusiasts, how often for you as your own GM building your team, you're sitting in your own fantasy draft, and how often do you like, oh, I have two or three players that I want to draft this year, and then it's like they get taken. You're like, now what? Or if somebody gets stupid and drafts a quarterback high, and you're like, okay, this player's available, great. Things change, and you have to change accordingly. And that's what the Ravens did, and they went to an audible and all defense. And you might be sitting there yelling to the TV, why? Or even on Thursday night, you might get over and say, okay, let's see what we do Friday night. And then you see defense, 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 and then you're like, what? What gives? We can't score. We can't do this. Brandon, I'm going to bring this hard to you. Remember all the games we covered last year? You remember how up and down the season was?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we were there for a few. We were there for the Jets game. What I want to ask your opinion, because me and you went to the Jets game together. We were there. We were up 10-0. We saw how the game performed. What do you think, just singling out the New York Jets and Ravens game last year, not talking about any of the other 15 games, what do you think lost that game in the Jets game? What do you think? Why did we lose that game?
We lost that game. Well, there were a lot of different factors, but, you know, Joe Flacco was hurt. But there was also the fact that there was no defense there to stop the run, and there was no secondary at all. I mean, the Jets were able to just do whatever they wanted with the ball no matter what.
Absolutely, absolutely. And even if you don't single out that game, if you go to other games in the season, remember the Oakland Raiders game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who couldn't? We were, I think, down. Unfortunately, that was the game I didn't go to, so I don't remember it as vividly because I actually had to watch the highlights because, remember, if no one actually remembers, it was the first home game I missed in forever, and I was actually at the NASCAR event for my 30th birthday. But correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, do you remember, were the Ravens down like 15 or 18 points there at one point? Were they down big, or I think it was at least two touchdowns or something like that.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was a bad game.
It was bad. And just speaking of the Jets too, we lost that game 24-16. Okay, so we lost by 8 points possession. Okay, going back to the reasons why we lost that, you said again secondary. I know healthy Joe, but it wasn't really the fact that we lacked a playmaker on offense, like you touched on. It was because of the defense. Remember the Raiders game. How do we lose that Raiders game? It was a last-second touchdown by Michael Crabtree, if you don't remember.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yep. You remember that? Yeah, it was apparently what I remember from the highlights, we lost the game by 1 point. And granted, I know we could have led a drive there, and we could have won the game. I know what happened there. But the ebbs and flow of the game basically come down to we almost had them, and we barely lost because we let a last-second touchdown. I'm actually watching the highlights as we speak of that game. It was 21-12 at 1 point, Oakland. I'm scrolling through the highlights, 21-19, 21-20. All right, so here's the thing. All right, dating back to this Raiders game, okay, the Raiders were up 20. They were up – let me go back here. I got to – sorry, man, I'm just going back. All right, they were up 14-12, okay. They scored a touchdown, went up 21-12. We scored that long Steve Smith stiff arm touchdown, who you can forget, and put us at 19-21. Mm-hmm. Then we scored a touchdown at 21-25, and we completed a two-point conversion, 27-21 Ravens. Okay. Then we let them go all the way, and we scored with 3 minutes and 37 seconds. 3 minutes and 37 seconds left, folks. At 2 minutes and 17 seconds, we let Oakland go down the field and score a go-ahead game-winning touchdown. Granted, we got in position to almost kick a field goal in that game, but we ultimately lost. We were at midfield and we sputtered. But we put up 27 points in that game and only lost by one. So with someone called no playmakers, what everybody's whining about Thursday night. You staying with me, Brandon, on this one?
I'm with you.
Kind of following what's going on here?
Yeah, I'm with
okay.
you.
Okay. We remember in that whole four-game lose streak, I was the week prior, I went to the Giants game with, you know, of course, my buddy here and our listener, John Dugan. Basically, with that game, we remember what happened. The Ravens were holding toe-to-toe with the Giants. Jimmy Smith gets hurt. And then what happened when Jimmy Smith got hurt, Brandon?
Everything changed.
It did. Odell Beckham Jr. was heard of. He was relevant. And it was a 4th-and-1 play, and he took it to the house for the game-winning score, and we lost. Okay. Redskins game was a little bit odd, but I'll throw it out. But that was one of our 4-game losing streaks in there. Okay. So we got the Raiders, we got the Jets, and we're up 10-0 on the Jets. We even came back and scored all those unanswered points. We were down 21-12 against the Oakland Raiders and took the lead 27-21 and only lost by 1 point. So you're staying with me. Who can forget our faithful night on Christmas night against the Steelers? Me and you were there.
Yep.
How awesome was it to see Kyle Juszczyk? But mind you, not even going across the goal line like he did, but Joe freaking Flacco led the team down the field with a Steve Smith at receiver, a Mike Wallace at receiver, a Kamar Aiken at receiver, a fullback in Kyle Juszczyk, who's a Pro Bowler who's now gone to the Niners, and we had running backs Dixon and West. And we went up by 4 points on the Steelers with 1 minute and 18 seconds left. Brandon, how did we lose that game?
By fingertips is how we lost that game, right on the goal line.
Fingertips and inches. But how did they get down there? How did we lose that game? How did the Steelers get down there to win by 3 points?
They owned that field, and they Big Ben and their offense just went strictly right down the field, did whatever they wanted. The defense had no answer for the Steelers that night.
Bingo. Steelers had no answer, or the Ravens had no answer for the Steelers' offense, and we didn't have an answer on defense. Bingo, bingo, bingo. We were 8-8 last year. 9-7 was the least record. Keep this in mind, folks. There are 6 teams in the AFC to make the playoffs. The 6th seed was 9-7. It's not 9-7. So you figure we lost. We could have won one more game, possibly 2, and made the playoffs. We had the lead against the Raiders and lost. We had the lead against the Steelers and lost. We had the lead against the Giants. All we had to do was stop on a 4th down and lost. We could have been at least 11-5 last year. At least. Doesn't it frustrate you as a Ravens fan how close we could have been last year?
It's very frustrating. That's been kind of like the MO of the Ravens the last couple seasons, is you just get kind of frustrated throughout the season.
You do. And unfortunately, it sucks. It leads to great drama and great afternoon watching when you're at the game or even watching on TV, because you know it's going to come down to the wire. And ultimately, on Monday Night Football, what did the eventual Super Bowl champions do to us? What did Chris Hogan do? Long touchdown. Break down the secondary, miscommunication. Chris Hogan, who is apparently a Pro Bowl playmaker, takes it to the house. And we lose the game. And obviously, you hear my sarcasm and exaggeration. And here's the problem. And all this talking up leads to our draft pick on Thursday night. People were whining and clamoring and saying, again, fire Ozzie and oh my God, I'm a better GM and blah blah blah, and they think they run a team. But this is what I find comical. It's like I asked one simple question on Thursday night after our draft pick. Why did we lose most of our games last year? It wasn't the fact that we couldn't score points, because correct me if I'm wrong, watch the highlights. Joe Flacco led the Ravens down the field in Pittsburgh again, which he's done time and time again, and would have had a game-winning score on Christmas night. But the defense couldn't hold. They led them right down the field. So there's our problem. And the Ravens said in the offseason, we want to address our secondary. We have to get better. You're telling me when Jimmy Smith gets hurt, we got to rely on Sharice Wright? You remember 2014? I was at the playoff game. I remember vividly. What did Tom Brady do in 2014 when we had 2 14-point leads? That wasn't a lack of offense, folks. That was not a lack of playmakers. What was that? Defense. Sharice Wright. Actually, no, it was Rashad Melvin. Rashad Melvin got picked on the whole time because what? Jimmy Smith was hurt. Go figure. And we lost the game. It wasn't a lack of playmakers. I was there. We were up 28-14. We were up by another two scores. And we couldn't win the game. So it's not a lack of offense. And I've been trying to drill this into people's heads. Not to make them agree with me, but it's like, you guys aren't seeing the big picture here. The Ravens have never had a playmaker like that on offense, like a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. Brandon, I would love to have one, bro. I would love to have a Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, these big stud receivers. But the Ravens, since their inception in 96, have never had one. Their best receivers have been Derek Mason, Anquan Boldin, you name it. It's these kind of players. Steve Smith. It's been these types of players that they sign. It's been a home run hitter like Torrey Smith who helped us out in the playoffs through the draft. That's the only receiver I think in recent memory that sort of maybe panned out. That could have been, hey, that was a great draft pick at receiver because he had great catches in a divisional game against the Broncos in our run. He had a great he just had a great season that year. And remember the game against the Patriots, he had the 2 touchdown game. So I've been there. I've seen it. But the fact of the matter is, and I want to ask you this, man, why did they call it a draft war room? Why did they call the draft room a war room? Why do you think?
Well, you're going to battle, you know, and it doesn't have to be on a battlefield. It's kind of like a poker game. You don't want to show your hand, and what you want to do is you want to get the best bang for your buck, and, you know, that's the war room because you got to pick the best player at that time that's going to make your entire team better. It can't just be, you know, one guy at one position. It's got to make everybody better.
Bro, I could high-five you if we were in the same room. You hit it again. Bingo. Because it's a war, it's a chess match, it's war, you're going to war, it's warfare. Ed Reed and Ray Lewis always said it's a chess match, especially against Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, the two best in the craft. It is like that against Aaron Rodgers, against Drew Brees. These guys carve you up. Speaking of that warfare, okay, just let's take a look at our AFC North foes for a minute, okay? The Bengals drafted John Ross, who was the fastest guy in the draft, beat Chris Johnson's record. He ran a 4.240. So they got John Ross and A.J. Green, okay? Ravens were clearing. I don't know if you know about this guy, but he's a receiver out of USC named Juju Schuster-Smith, I believe. Ravens could have had Juju in one of the rounds, and they passed up on a drafted defensive player. Juju ultimately went to, you guessed it, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Great reaction from everybody as everybody's flipping out. So they got Juju Brown. But the Steelers not only have Juju drafted, but they got Brown Bell, who's the best running back in the league, and Le'Veon Bell, and they got Big Ben, okay? If you were to, speaking of warfare, man, if you were to build a team and you looked at the Steelers, they're probably our biggest obviously they are our greatest competition because, number one, they're our biggest rival. Two, they're the AFC defending North AFC champions right now. And it's just always a battle with them. The Bengals, I think, are a stake back, but we'll cover that later in the year as we break down the AFC North. But if you're looking to beat the Steelers, well, how would you do it? How would you look to blueprint a team and go, you know what? Look at their weapons. You're looking at their weapons on the front lines and go, how do we counter that and beat them? What would you do?
Well, what you just said is they're strengthening up their offense. We saw them on Christmas Day, how they were able to completely just dominate our defense and get all the way down the field. And you do have Big Ben, who this year, it looks like he may be entering his last year, his final hurrah. What you're going to do is to battle against that offense, you're going to strengthen up your defense and make sure that you don't, that as they strengthen up at wide receiver, you strengthen up the secondary to battle that.
And folks, I did not give him any of these answers. He's not reading from a cue card, but you said exactly what I would have said.
again, bingo, man. If we were playing bingo, we would have filled out the card and won some great prizes.
I'm very smart, I like to think.
Well, hey, that's why we do the podcast. We pick the smart ones, right?
That's but, right.
Yeah, man. But you exactly right. You would sit there and draft. You know what? Let's beat the Steelers by drafting a home run hitter running back and a Pro Bowl receiver and blah, 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 blah. And we already have a franchise Super winning quarterback in Joe Flacco, so we don't need one of those. We have one.
Well, I think,
no, you're right. We would counter that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I understand where you're coming from. I think there's a lot of people making noise because of I like what Ozzie did. He's definitely making a statement. Everyone else is going offense heavy. I'm going to go defense heavy to go against that. But I think a lot of fans are ticked off because they know where so much of the money of this franchise is going and why we don't have those, you know, big money receivers, mm-hmm. because there's so much going to Joe Flacco. I think a lot of people are expecting for the Ravens to cater more towards him.
And you're right, and I agree on that side. I'm not disrespecting that side of the ball because you're right. But like I had a conversation today with my buddy Tony. We acknowledge that Flacco's eating up a lot of money, and Brady's deals $18 million a year against their cap versus Joe Flacco's $24 million. But we agreed that for the money's sake, Brady makes a lot more endorsements than Flacco, just comparing their salaries and the right. way they do business.
Right.
But I told him, and he agreed. Flacco got paid for what he did. We were stuck between a rock and a hard place because we gave him an offer. Joe and his agent said, you know what? No, we're going to gamble. We'll turn it down. And this was right after the Lee Evans drop and the Billy Cunningham kick. You know, we were there. And we were right there on the cusp of Super Bowl. And Joe Flacco was offered a contract. He goes, no, I'm going to play at my existing deal. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, Joe Flacco won that gamble. He basically shoved his chips all in. He took the team to Super Bowl, led him with 11 touchdowns and 0 picks in the playoffs. And Super Bowl MVP 47. So now he got paid for what he did. He's not getting paid because he's Joe Flacco. He got paid because his five year body of work since he became in the league in 2008. That contract, Brandon, was a 2008 to 2012 contract, and the Ravens said, you know what? Here you go. Mm-hmm. So he's still getting his due from his Super Bowl winnings. You see where I'm going with that? So yeah, again, sure. It's hurting the team. He's got to restructure, but getting back to and bringing this all home is, you're right, going back to the counter, the AFC North is filled with big receivers and offense. If we're going to build a championship team, the number only one win the North but win the whole thing, you got to go defense. You got to regress. The whole league's going pass-heavy offense. You got Zeke Elliott running back. You know, you got Dak Prescott. You got Drew Brees winging the ball all over the place. You got Matt Stafford winning the ball. Look at Matt Ryan and what Matt Ryan got triplets. They got triplets. And I got Devonta Freeman, who's a beast of a running back. They got Julio Jones, whom we know who he's capable of. We got Matt Ryan, who's a Pro Bowl quarterback. But and someone goes this week, oh, we never drafted a Pro Bowler on, you know, other than maybe Ray Rice and Justin Tucker on offense. But I said, you know what? We don't even have a Pro Bowl quarterback, but we have a Super Bowl quarterback, and I'd rather – Ray always said that. It's not about Pro Bowls. It's about Super Bowls. But I digress from that. But where I'm going with this is in the whole Ravens history – in their whole history, they never had an offensive home run playmaker. Yeah, I would love to have a Le'Veon Bell on the team. And you know what? Let's feed him and he can get 2 or 3 touchdowns a game and we can score. But I said this in a tweet right in the middle of the draft. The Steelers proved that formula doesn't work. Ask Le'Veon Bell and ask Antonio Brown how many Super Bowl championships they won since they've entered the league. Bingo, 0. That formula don't work. Look what Julio Jones and Devonta Freeman and Matt Ryan had. They had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl and lost. 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, who their biggest playmaker wasn't even on the field the whole year. Gronk. They won it with Chris Hogan, James White, who was drafted in the 4th round, mind you, and Julian Edelman. Apparently, these guys are the playmakers that people are talking about, but they're just little old guys. They make plays. I mean, I don't know how I could beat a dead horse, but my point is, and you can hear I get so passionate about it, you can't win with that formula. You can have that. That worked in the 90s when you had Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and Troy Aikman. That worked in the 90s. But you know what? The Ravens said the 2000 year came, and you know what? This is the decade of defense. And it's still proclaimed as the decade turn, and it's still the year of defense. The Seattle Seahawks throttled the Broncos in Super Bowl on defense. The Giants beat the Patriots two times in Super Bowl on defense. And the Broncos did it to the Panthers. They throttled them on defense, and Von Miller was the MVP. Defense wins more championships than offenses do. I'd rather not have the flashy record-setting offenses if that gets you nowhere. You know what I'm going to do? I'd rather have the sack leader. I'd rather have an Ed Reed who gets highlight reel interception returns for 100 yards plus. That's what wins championships. Not this, you know, the fantasy leagues win the championships because they put up numbers. Well, keep that on your league. This is reality. And this is why we drafted Marlon Humphreys in the first round, and we went on from there and drafted more defense. Yes, we made up for it, and we're going to go over our draft picks, but digress from that. That's why I wanted to cover the draft and why the Ravens did. And my buddy Tony actually came back and said that. He said, you know, he was the one I was going back and forth with because he wanted more offensive-minded because I know there's holes there. But he actually today acknowledged, but he goes, as I slept on it more and more, he's seen why they drafted Marlon for the first pick at 16 overall, and he goes, he understands why they did what they did. When you sleep on it and when you take back a step back, this is how we're going to win in today's NFL. Today's NFL is all about offense. The Ravens are bucking that trend and going backwards. Say, you know what? We're going to turn back the clock and go back to organized chaos, and we're going to beat you in the trenches, down and dirty. We're going to come after a quarterback, and we're going to pick off your passes, and we're going to stop your all-star receivers. That's what the Ravens are doing, and I freaking love it. I love defense. You know me, and I just can't wait to see what it looks like on the field. But with that being said, that is what I feel, and you can see, and you agree too, because you called it out. You called out why they're the war room. You called out why, how you would beat the Steelers if you were to assemble a team, and here it is. This is why we went defense for the first four picks in a draft. And if those picks, I don't know if you had a chance to review, is there any picks that you like other than, like, I know Marlon's our first pick, but is there anything to you that stands out if you heard on the street that you just gush over, like, you know what, I can't wait to see this coming up?
There's nobody that really, like, blows me away of who we drafted, and I like everybody. I like the defensive mind. I think we're really going to be able to see what these players can do, at least a little sneak peek next week when rookie camp starts up.
I think so, too, man. I can't wait to see it. And just to go through the draft picks right in a row, we all know we drafted Marlon Humphreys from Alabama at 16 overall. We went to Houston at second round at 47th overall. We got a outside linebacker, Tyus Bowser. Just remember that name, Tyus Bowser. We're going to come back to him. We drafted a third overall pick, or our third round pick overall at 74. It's a defensive end, Chris Wormley out of Michigan. So there's a Harbaugh tie there, a Michigan Wolverine. We went back to Bama on defense. Two out of first four picks were Alabama. And the 78th overall pick, four picks later, we got outside linebacker Tim Williams, and I know a lot of people were texting me before he got drafted and said when Wormley was drafted, two or three people texted me, goes, let's snap back and get Williams. And lo and behold, Tim Williams was a Raven. And that was a lot of people were happy about that. They were like, they were content with that one. So I can say of the few agreements I had during the draft, that was probably one of them that we landed on. And now we went on from there in the fourth round. We went all the way to 122nd. We picked guard Nico Siragusa. So we actually have another Siragusa in the house, not related to Tony. So his nickname is going to be Not Tony. I can't wait to see what he does. So this is going to be a Not Tony issue, but no relation from what I've heard of Siragusa. But it's great to have another Siragusa in the house on guard. The other one was on defense, and he was stout for us. Then we went back in the draft, fifth round, 159th overall pick. We picked a guard, and he also plays tackle, Jermaine Ulimanor. I don't know if I can say his name. It's like it's exotic. Trust me, it's spelled Ulumunor. It's like Ulimanor. I don't know how you say it. I don't want to say manure.
Yeah, that's not good.
I have to hear it right. But I actually heard he has London ties.
That's right. Yeah, he came from London, and he always wanted to play in the NFL. And luckily enough, he was able to make that dream come true, at least for right now.
Yeah, man, and I heard, he said he won't be going back home when he goes back to Wembley Stadium. So if he ends up starting for us, that'd be a great story to cover with him being drafted and going back to the motherland and playing for the Ravens, man. It's great, great stuff. And then we kind of back ended the draft on defense. We got two offensive picks in there, snuck them in there. They're not that flashy, but hopefully they'll get the job done. But we went back to 186 overall in round six. We picked up defensive back Chuck Clark out of Virginia Tech. So that's how the draft kind of went. So if you look at our picks, we had five defenders and two offensive players mining the round of seven. And looking at it overall, I think we've addressed, you know, the fact that the Ravens are looking for heir apparents to the exes of Sharice Wright and some players who didn't pan out. But you have to look at it this way. We lost Dumervil. Suggs is pretty much on his last year at the Ravens. We have to replenish the pass rush. The Ravens picked up the fifth-year option on Mosley, so we know they're going to be getting his payday going on next. So, and the Ravens were not done. They committed to secondary. They signed safety Tony Jefferson. They signed Brandon Carr. Jimmy Smith's apparently getting healthy. They let go Webb, re-signed him back. So the Ravens' commitment to the pass rush and secondary, I'm telling you what, you're not going to be able to – the quarterbacks are going to be caught after, and you're not going to be able to throw on us, and that's what the Ravens are doing. Like we went back to in the beginning of the show here and had a great discussion is they're saying we're going to come after Dalton. We're going to come after Big Ben. We're going to come after Brock Osweiler and AFC North. We're going to come after Brady. They're going to come after him with these pass rushers, collapse the pocket, and not give these guys time to throw to pick us off. And if they do, we got a secondary that's more than capable right now of handling that load. Can't wait to see it in games, but right now it's great. And also, I don't know if you know this, but we did pick up quite a few players in the undrafted free agents. But before we even cover that, Brandon, do you know some household names of the Ravens that were actually undrafted free agents that became great players for us?
I know one or two. I know Kamar Aiken went undrafted just recently, but I'm sure you know a lot of more classic names.
Oh, yeah. Remember Mike Flynn?
Yeah, sure.
Undrafted free agent. And who can forget Bart Scott, earth-shattering hit on Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah.
Undrafted free agent. Yep, so that's a couple of the names that have been, you know, playing for the Ravens and end up being very, very good in their careers here in their time, whether it was short or long. And on the undrafted free agent list, we actually signed four wide receivers and two that stand out. I wanted to talk about actually three of them. And the first two we drafted signed a Tim White out of Arizona State and a Tim Patrick out of Utah. These two guys, I've been hearing a lot. I saw highlight reels on both guys. They can provide, number one, you know how we lack in the special teams area with kick returning. One of them is actually a return specialist, which is Tim White out of Arizona State. So these guys could, again, everybody was joking, oh, they're probably practice squatters. That might be true. But if they show promise in, again, mini camps and preseason, there's we can address that and address. So everybody was whining that, oh, we didn't address wide receiver. We just technically picked up four of them. We just don't know it yet. But going back to that, Ozzie said why he did what he did, man. He wants to create that homegrown talent, like build up the farm, you know, kind of per se.
Sure.
He wants to give Campanero and Mike and Chris Moore a shot. He wants to get these guys because he said we have the talent right here. We have to develop it. You can't just put these guys in 2 or 3 years and go, oh, well, they ain't catching 10 touchdowns a year. They're not it. Just win the games. I'm not about scoring 50 points. Just score more than the other guys and stop the other guys from scoring. It's that simple. And put the personnel out there. But there's another receiver I wanted to cover, and I'm also going to talk to my brother about this. I'm excited because my brother lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I actually drove right past this campus while I was visiting him on Easter weekend. But we signed an undrafted free agent out of Tennessee Chattanooga, University of Tennessee Chattanooga, which down there it's UTC. We signed a receiver called C.J. Board. So I'm interested to see how he pans out, and I've been trying to get my brother to give me intel. I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm hoping to get some feedback from my brother about this guy because my brother lives in the area. We also signed a couple of linebackers, a couple of running backs. So we'll see what happens. But like you said, it wasn't a sexy and hot draft. It wasn't something to get the feathers ruffled and, oh, my God, we got him. It's one that, you know what, we got more weapons, we replenished the troops, and let's go back to work. And for the Ravens, it's never been like that. It's picking these town guys. But remember last year, we drafted offensive lineman Ronnie Stanley. Everybody was like, what? What? Oh, there was this on the board and this on the board. Oh, Ronnie Stanley just had a great year. Remember Mosley a few years ago. What? What? C.J. Mosley, they went linebacker? You kidding me? Ozzie's got to stay away from these Alabama players. He cannot stay out of Alabama. Oh, he just made a Pro Bowl in his first year, and we picked up his fifth-year option, so he must be doing something well, and he had some great highlights since he's been here. So Ravens know what they're doing, guys. They're the best in the biz. But, and I don't know if you heard of debacles in the draft, but we're not the Bears. I heard the Bears did something stupid and asinine, and or not them. So thank God that we could be the Bears, who had a god awful draft.
They had one of the worst ones too. Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if you saw this or not, but locally here in Maryland, I don't know if you saw this, but a player that went undrafted was actually picked up by the Minnesota Vikings, and he was a student at Stevenson University named Austin, Tennessee, and he will be getting a tryout with Minnesota this offseason.
Oh, awesome! I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's great, man.
And you should check it out.
That'd be great.
He returned a 99-yard fumble in one of his first games as a freshman. So, I mean,
100-yard fumble is great, man. Yeah. that's the stuff that we need. I mean, again, playmakers. Everybody's like, we didn't sign a playmaker, but the fact remains is these kind of types of plays, like that 99-yard fumble recovery, could be on the roster right now. But going back to that, a name that I definitely love, and remember how I was on Zadarius Smith a few years, and I kind of like. That was a bust for me. Like, Z Smith, man, he's a beast. He looks like a Raven. This Tyus Bowser guy has been talked up tremendously. I've heard nothing but great reviews. I heard he's got a motor. He's fast. He gets after a quarterback. And just that name, Tyus Bowser, that just sounds like a Raven name, doesn't it?
It does. It definitely does.
The scary one. But I heard
Bring in a Mario to go against him.
Well, Bowser to attack Mario, which is the opposing quarterbacks. How's that? But I just can't wait to see how it all pans out. But I've heard nothing. And that's what I'm excited about. I mean, we got to get these guys somewhere. And everybody clamors and claims that we need offensive. We do. And I think the Ravens, like Ozzie said, they're not done. We have the center to address, which I personally believe Nick Mangold's still out there. He'll be a Raven. Bolden's name came up, although he's older. I don't know what he has left. I've seen him play. I just don't know. That's a question mark because I know a receiver's different than a linebacker at that age. But Ray came back from his tricep. We all know his story. But all Ray Lewis did in the Super Bowl run, he came back at the same age, was all he did was lead the team in tackles the whole Super Bowl run and probably had the most tackles. So, I mean, the guy was a beast. So, who knows if he can have something. But Steve Smith was the same age. Look what he did last year. He had that stiff arm all the way en route to a big, long touchdown, 59-yard touchdown pass against Oakland. I mean, the guy was a beast. So if Bolden can bring that attitude and possession receiver, I say bring the services. There's a lot of names out there that have been linked to the Ravens, and why don't he do this? I personally thought they were going to bring in, you know, they should bring in Jamal Charles. There's been speculation about that, but the Ravens are moving there. They got West, they got Dixon, but I feel like we need help in the first 4 weeks with Dixon being out, but that's why I was like, and I think everybody's freaking out, Brandon, because the Ravens, for the first time in their draft history, they didn't draft a skilled position player on offense. They didn't draft a running back, a tight end, a receiver, any of those guys. So, and I think there might be a time, hopefully here in the next few years, where the Ravens actually draft one of those guys and ends up being a great household name for us. But for right now, this is our team, and we got to win the AFC North with this team, and that's where we're at. And it goes back to warfare. We got to counter with what the other teams are doing, and this is why the Ravens would do so. Again, whether you agree with our assessment here and where I'm coming from, you can agree or disagree. At the end of the day, we're all Ravens fans, and we're all going to cheer our team hard, win, lose, or draw. But we got to. We can't fight the Steelers by drafting a big receiver. We can't fight the Patriots by drafting a big receiver because we've shown already with the personnel we can beat them. Did we not beat the Steelers in the first game? Did we not beat the Steelers? It's just we've owned them lately with nobody. So imagine if we do get somebody, we'll just trounce them. That's exciting. So for the time being, let's just see how it all plays out. But it's defense first, and defense wins championships right here in Baltimore.
Absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything?
Quoth Raven, nevermore, man.
All right. So, before we get out of here, I just saw this on Facebook. Everybody knows about the tragedy that happened earlier this year with Todd Heap's family and losing their 3-year-old daughter. They announced that May 3rd would have been Holly's 4th birthday, and that they want you to use the hashtag Hugs from Holly, and they want you to do some acts of kindness on May 3rd. So hopefully this podcast gets out and you're listening to it on May 3rd. But they're saying wear pink in Holly's honor, share some hugs, do a compliment somebody, smile more, write a kind note, you know, do the thing where you pay for the person behind you in the drive-thru, and then share pictures of you hugging your family and your friends. Use the hashtag Hugs from Holly Day and go to hugsfromholly.com and learn more about the ways that you can help out people. You can where was it? I think you can where did I say it? Right. If you go to hugsfromholly.com, that includes a link to donate to the Baltimore Community Foundation's Holly Heap Memorial Fund. So we're all a big family here, Ravens Nation, and it was an absolutely horrible thing that happened with Holly Heap, and this is a way to keep her memory alive and to help out former Raven Todd Heap. So just spread the word out about that and hug somebody tomorrow.
That's great, man. Thanks for bringing that up. And, you know, it's great to, you know, come together as a family. But and not only that, I mean, you don't want to focus on just, would you say May 3rd, which is tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're recording this on May 2nd on Tuesday.
Absolutely. So if anybody's getting it after that, still participate. Still, you know, bring up the link and donate. And you know what? It's an old saying, you know, we have Mother's Day and Father's Day, but you don't want to just take those 2 days to honor your mother and father. You want to do it every day, but it's the same thing, you know. Acts of kindness shouldn't just be because of a tragedy. You should be doing that every single day of life and making the world a better place. And I wholeheartedly agree with that, but, you know, I'd definitely take it. You know, I don't know if I have anything pink in my closet. I actually used to, but I don't know if it's there anymore or if I sold it. But if I don't wear pink, I'll definitely be passing on the buck and acts of kindness and, you know, making the memory known. And it's the whole adage, man. You're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what freaky thing might happen in your life. You don't know when my tragedy struck. And you got to be ready moment's notice and, you know, deal with it accordingly. And, and with that being said, it's a great cause, and I would love to help out the Heap family any way we can.
Absolutely. Well said. Well
Maybe
said.
Maybe if you even have an old Todd Heap jersey, sport it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the women have the pink jerseys back in the day. They made those, so I don't know if any of the our ladies out there, Ravens fans, who have the Heap pink jersey, but even if it's not Heap, you know, wear pink. I know the wear pink NFL line. I might even have my lapel pin. I know it's breast cancer, but it's something pink, something NFL. I don't know if I'll bust that out, but something to commemorate by, and it's great, man. Thanks for bringing that up for us.
Absolutely. So if switching notes there, hashtag hugs from Holly. Don't forget to use that whenever you do any kind of acts of kindness to remember the Heap family. So switching gears here, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52. And speaking of that, tweeting to me, I kind of wanted to save it for the end, speaking of tweeting in my Twitter handle. But I don't know if you remember the event, but remember I actually had I went to the Ray Lewis event on Friday night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got to tell us about what it was like hanging out with number 52.
Yeah, man. I specifically wanted to wait to the end of the show to leave the crumbs there. Wanted to tease in the beginning, but I just getting fired up about the draft. But I'm glad you brought the Twitter handle because there's a story about my Twitter and Ray. So obviously, for those who don't know, I went to a cigar event. Ray Lewis has his own cigar line. If you don't check it out, it's with Rocky Patel. It's great. If you're a cigar smoker or anything like that, feel free to try it out. They're on sale at local retailers in Baltimore area. Collector's box is great. So basically, Ray had an event where you buy a couple boxes of cigars. I can have them autographed. I can take a picture with them, hang out. He was there for about 4 hours. He came in. And the pictures are on Facebook. Everybody knows that I got a fedora. Not specific for the event, but I just got one in general. But Ray has been known to wear the fedoras. And you see C. Smith with him before. And I was like, you know what? Let's go style and profiling. And I went to the Ravens event, Ray Lewis event. And he was there mingling with the fans. It was great to see him going around table to table and just mingling with people and saying how you're doing and shaking hands and hugging people. And I want to give a shout out to Jordan Hoffman. He's a avid listener on the call now. I got him introduced to the show. Me and him are actually Twitter buddies. We met the trip of we mentioned in the show of the infamous 2-touchdown lead the last time the Ravens were actually in the playoffs and lost in 2014. Me and him met on the bus trip to New England for the Ravens playoff game, and we've been Twitter friends ever since. He's been introduced to the call. He listens, and I want to give a shout-out to him. But he's actually now a Baltimore City cop, and he actually showed up to the event, didn't even know he was supposed to be there. So me and him got to come together, and long story short, I got to, you know, shake it. Ray came up to me, and he said, "Nice hat, my friend." And I said, "Back at you." And we got to talk for a little bit. He asked how I was doing it, what my name was, and we went on to do the signing. And I did the signing. I got up to him. I got the picture. Got to meet him a little bit. Shake hands. So after that, I got my stuff signed. I mingled with him a little bit. So while I was doing the signing, I basically after I got the picture done, he was asking like what's new. We were just kind of doing a small talk. So. And I mentioned something about his inspirational messages on Twitter. If no one follows him, you actually should if you're a Ravens fan. But he always leaves these inspirational messages all day and motivation. Well, I actually said to him, I said, "You actually replied to me a few times and a couple weeks ago. You actually liked one of my tweets." He's like, "I did?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "It was actually Easter. I was going through the Twitter feed. You said Happy Easter, all that." So I took upon myself to reply, "Now, Happy Easter to you and your family, Ray. Have a safe one." I don't know what I actually said. That afternoon, he liked my tweet. Remember, I sent you the screenshot? It was amazing. I was like, "Ray Lewis liked my tweet."
Yeah.
So I brought that up to him. I said, and when I told him about it, he goes, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I just got back in from Chicago at a flight, and I was checking my Twitter, going through my stuff, and I saw it." And I said, "Yeah, I just liked it." And I was like, "Well, that was me." He goes, "That was you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm Italian GQ52 is my Twitter handle." He goes, "Your Twitter handle's what?" I said, "It's Italian GQ52. And he puts his hands on his thighs and he laughs. He's like, "Oh, brother." And he reaches out, gives me a handshake and a hug. He goes, "Man, you're too much, brother." He goes, "That's actually pretty neat." And he was nodding his head. He goes, "And I guess I'll be talking on Twitter, brother." And he goes, "I'll see you." And then it was great. We were just mingling back in the VIP section. And then I got to talk to him about podcasting. I asked him how he does his podcast. He actually said because of On The Go, they don't really do it like in a studio as you think. They do it just like we do, man, because he's on the go. They record through Skype just like we do, man. So the great Ray Lewis is podcasting through Skype just like we do, man.
It's interesting. Awesome. Wow.
Yeah, so I got to ask him that. So that was one of the things. And after the Ravens draft, I actually asked his opinion on it. I said, "Hey, Ray, what do you think? Looks like we're going back to turn back the clock in old school defense." He goes, "We'll see, man. We'll see." But he had a smirk on his face, and he knew. He knows we're getting back to the roots, Bear. But again, meeting Ray Lewis was great, had a great event. And then it went on to Saturday. We went to yard sale with me and you, had got some great finds, me and you. It was funny. We spent the same amount of money, got some great, great products. Ravens yard sale, 30, 50% off. Apart from that, I went to the event, got to go into the Ravens locker room. I saw Tony Jefferson in the Ravens locker room and got to talk to him for a bit. He's a pretty nice guy, very genuine guy. Can't wait to see him. He was all excited about the season coming up, wants to play for the All-In fans, he was saying. And I got to take their beauties, man, the Twins, Super Bowl 35 and 47 trophies in all their glory. I was the first one in line, go figure. So, yeah, of course, me. And it was great.
But, I'd expect nothing less.
Nothing less. And I took a picture with him, and the girl's taking a picture. She's like, I was like, "Can I take a picture of him?" And everybody's going to look at him. She's going to say, yeah. So I'm like right up against the cage, just like looking at the shininess. The fingerprints were on the trophy. I seen the engravings. I gazed upon him, man. They were there in all their glory. And Ray Lewis always mentioned them, called them glory. And I gazed on two pieces of glory that we got. And what a weekend, man. Ray Lewis, Super Bowl trophies, outlet sale. Got to roam the stadium, the club level, had a great lunch, hung out with some Ravens fans. It was just a great – and it just made me just want football even more. And I know we have to wait a long time now until September, but I just wanted to share that with you. Everybody can also catch me on Italian GQ52 on Twitter, including the great Ray Lewis. But that was my story, and the pictures are up there for all to see.
All right, very cool. So go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Check out all those photos that Joss had just mentioned. You can do that, and whenever a new show comes out, you'll also be the first to know, and we always are sharing all kinds of different stuff over on Facebook. So definitely do that, and you might even see some Facebook Live videos every once in a while as well throughout the off season. So check that out. And now, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. That's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you guys for listening to our draft special. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thanks for another great show. It was a great weekend hanging with you. Always doing Ravens, man. And guys, man, the draft is fine. I'd like to hear your thoughts. You know, post on the Facebook page. I've already had great discussions with you. I think I talked to Andrew. I got to meet a few of you guys at the outlet sale, man. It was great. I know I talked to a few guys on Facebook, and I'm really excited to hear what you guys say, whether you agree with our assessment or disagree. If you think we should totally, you know, ignore the defense, go offense, if that's your MO, let's have that discussion. See, you know, I love it. I love talking to you guys about football. I love talking to you guys on Twitter. I love you talking to you guys on Facebook. I love texting y'all, you know, video chatting, whatever method we use, man. I just love talking Ravens football to all the Ravens followers out there who follow The Call and support every single day. And I love it. Every single episode you guys make possible. I can't wait to see what these draft picks got. They play like a Raven. That's why they were drafted. They had some Raven-like instincts. And Ozzie and company said, you know what? Those are our guys. We're sticking true to our board no matter what. And let's see if it pans out to some great players in the next Ravens line history here, and I can't wait to see what it all turns out to be. I can't wait to get after the quarterbacks, and I can't wait to stop them because we have the personnel to do it now. That being said, we're going to let out a special heat to Todd Heap and his family, and always acts of kindness. And with that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.